Honey, I'm going out. I'll be back in a couple hours.
You play Farmville and call yourself a gamer.
You said awesome, and I said I hate it.
Okay, so here we go. This is where the extended knowledge comes in.
Don't mind me. I'm just staring at a wall somewhere.
Can anyone afford Benedict Cumberbatch?
That's surprising.
I don't think a human could make those sounds.
Yeah, well, you can do it, though, can't you?
Yeah, okay.
Hi, I'm Dean.
I'm the Paul Deter.
Are these just getting worse?
And I'm Jason. Welcome to Nerds Before Birds, the podcast where you find reviews, rankings, and general discussion on all things pop culture. This week, we're having a look at the newest film in the Predator series, which is directed by Shane Black, who was one of the original red shirts in the first movie. This movie follows, however, the character of Quinn, an army ranger sniper who, whilst on a mission, witnesses a predator ship crash land and encounters the creature firsthand when it kills his whole unit. Quinn manages to obtain some of the predator's tech and mails it to his wife and son back home, before both the predator and himself are captured by the government forces. So that's the basic setup. What did you guys think of this movie? Did it soar like an eagle or does it flip the bird? Dean, what did you think?
Okay. Well, first of all, before I get into it.
That's a good review.
Yeah. Well, yep. I think we need to, once again, I would like to apologize for last week's episode. I believe it was last week's episode.
Disenchantment.
Yes.
Another Arnold Schwarzenegger income.
No,
we just do so many podcasts.
Well, I have some of that with that, but no, just the general morale of the crew and the fact that the majority of the content was just complete
crap.
Like just us laughing at
what?
Basically,
what? Look,
why are you apologizing? Guys, look, I'm sorry we had fun.
I'm keeping the hand gestures to a minimum at this point.
He's doing hand signals while he apologizes. So that's the people don't understand. This is all a joke. He's just doing hand signals right now.
If you're not too sure what Dean's talking about, guys, click right here and have a listen to the podcast for yourself.
Shut up. Damn it.
Click the link right here. See where I'm pointing?
Yeah, right here on my face right now.
It's right next to where Dean placed the Simpsons
The one I'm pointing to. Hand gestures will be
stupid.
Very like, yeah, left to a minimum tonight.
Yeah, thank you. Thank
no
you.
Worries. And we'll try to keep on track.
You know what I think about that, Dean?
Shut up.
For those of you at home that are wondering what Paul just did,
it was a thumbs up.
Just click on the link.
I didn't flip him off. Point. I gave him a thumbs up.
Yeah. You gave him a thumbs up.
But there's no proof of that, which is my point.
Yeah.
All right. We're going to keep on track and give you the content that you guys really want to hear.
Thanks, Dan.
I feel I'm going to have to cut this bit because it's like, really? Yeah.
Fair enough.
And so does it soar like an eagle or flip the bird? What is it?
Okay. Let's try it again. Dean, what'd you think?
Yeah. Hi, guys.
I'm ranking about here.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah. Great.
Where do you rank it in the ranking of Predator movies? About here or here?
Thanks for having me. I think this movie soars like a pretty low flying eagle, I'd say.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, fair enough.
It's all right. It's good. It's another just soaring eagle for me.
Just soaring eagle.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, cool.
It was stupid and fun. So
yeah, fair enough. So me and Paul were talking just before we began this podcast. Mm-hmm. And me and Paul were talking and I'm not gonna bow to you and your grandma.
I confess.
So yeah, we were talking before, so Paul sort of gave away a little bit of what he thought of this movie. I just wanna ask before I ask you what you thought of this movie, Paul, were you a massive fan of the first Predator movie?
Very big fan.
Yeah.
Okay. It was probably one of the first, like, insanely hardcore movies I've seen. hardcore. Nice.
Yeah.
It's hardcore when you're seven.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's fair.
Freaking rad, though.
Yeah. So you, wait, you watched it when you were 7 years old?
I don't think really? It was seven. I feel like I was too young to watch. I didn't actually watch the movie to begin with. My cousin, shout out, he showed me the scene where they first encounter the predator and they're shooting into the forest and then they pick up the minigun and they just keep shooting into the forest and they hit it once. Yep. And it's like,
with unlimited ammo this is into the forest.
I loved
and
it.
They're like, yeah. You showed surely me that we're bit. Not like stranded out in the middle of nowhere needing to have and conserve as much ammo as possible. Nah, we're just going to open up
blow
in
it.
The forest.
We're going to empty. Yeah. It was sick.
Yeah, fair enough.
So I don't know, maybe not seven, maybe like 10 or something. I was young.
Yeah.
But it was rad.
Yeah. So what did you think of this movie?
I thought it sucked.
Whoa.
Yeah. Easily flipping the bird. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Flipping the bird.
It was
right.
Boring.
Yeah.
There was not a single moment in that movie where I was like, oh, yeah. I was like,
yeah.
Cool.
That's good. Right.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Didn't like it.
Yeah.
That is.
Yeah.
Wow.
So this is. This is a very unusual thing.
I've not liked
thing.
A movie in this podcast yet.
This is a
no,
first.
No, I don't think you haven't. It is a first. And this is the first where, Paul, you are the on single, the sideline. Like, you're the single person. Yeah.
Let's go, bitches.
Because I actually really love this movie. Yeah. I thought it was fantastic.
Okay. You hate everything.
I know. I love this movie.
I don't even know how
you're
married.
You know why I love it?
Oh, man.
You know why I love it?
Why?
Is because it rips off the first one so well. It's like it just rips into all the other, like, the tropes, all the stupidity of the original movies in such a way that it's, like, completely tongue-in-cheek. It is a comedy. And it, like, there's no suspense in it. I understand the complaint on that. But everyone that I've come across that hates this movie is a massive fan of the original.
Right.
And I never really held, like, the original really, it wasn't really dear to my heart or anything. So to have this movie come and sort of rip that to shreds in such a subtle way, I thought was actually really good.
Mm-hmm.
And so I actually think what they've done with it is pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Overall, it's not like, you know, it's not like the highest soaring eagle, but it's up there. Hey, like it's pretty good for me. Like, I really liked it.
As soon as Paul said that you didn't like it, I was like, oh, this is going to be an interesting podcast because a bit of context, because I knew what your reaction was because a bit of context.
Yeah, because we
went to see it together, Jason and we actually had that's the opportunity cute. To see it with our number one fan as well. And it was, shout out to Nathan. It was.
Yep. Hey, Nathan.
Hey, Nathan. number two fan, actually, because Jordan's our number one fan.
Jordan's number one, of course. Yeah. Paul's dad, Jordan, that is.
Paul's dad. Oh, crap. No, because then there's Paul's dad, Jordan, and then there's other Jordan.
Paul's mum,
Jordan.
Paul's mum, Jordan. Yep. Jordana.
Martha. And then Jordan,
Paul's
Jordan.
Martha.
Martha. Hang on, so Jordan, Martha, Jordan.
My middle name's Jordan.
Declan as well, our quality control.
Yeah, so he's like fan number four or something like that, you know.
We had the opportunity to see this movie with our number five fan.
If anyone's wondering how to gain the title of number one fan, visit us at patreon.com/.
That was such a seamless segue into that.
$10 or more. There.
The benchmark is very low at the moment.
The title's yours.
Yeah, it is pretty low, actually, the benchmark. So
$5 a month and you become number one.
Like my score for The Predator, it's very low.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I'm interested to see how low.
I have a list of pros and cons, and my cons list is massive.
Yeah,
oh, this
right.
is going to be fun. Yeah. So my point is that I just remember, like, we were sitting there, just we did not stop laughing throughout this entire movie. I think it was absolutely hilarious. I mean, it was Shane Black humor. And
it's so
love,
funny.
Yeah, if you know it's a Shane Black movie, I think you're going to have a better idea of what you're in for and you're
what the movie is going to be. Yeah, for sure.
Definitely.
I think that's the thing. Like, I'm a massive Shane Black fan, so I kind of went into this knowing that it wasn't going to be your typical Predator movie.
Yeah, no.
I have liked a lot of the ones in the past, but this one, it's probably up there with being probably my favorite out of all of them. And I know that's pretty shocking. Considering what Paul's face is doing right now, it's really shocking.
The hell is happening?
If only you could see.
I don't want to listen to this podcast. I'm with you, audience.
What?
Wow. Yeah.
I'll put out my own.
Are you
one.
Sure you went to see the right movie?
We're gonna. Yeah. It's My Little Predator, sure? Right?
I'm so surprised that you didn't like this, My Little Predator.
Dumb.
No, that was the car version.
It's like you went in and it's like, this is weird. Why is it set in Singapore? Crazy rich Asians. And
how good was The Covenant? Side note.
What?
The Covenant?
Yeah, the movie.
The Covenant?
Yeah.
The Covenant, the movie?
Yeah.
Really, wait. You're going to say that The Covenant is a good movie and The Predator's not?
Look, I mean, I saw The Covenant like 8 years ago.
Which one's The Covenant?
You haven't yesterday. Seen it recently.
Oh, Alien Covenant.
Yeah. Sucked. Yeah, right? But it's not like, there's not like a Covenant that I saw, you know, 15 years ago that was really awesome. And then they released
wait.
Last Airbender
Alien Covenant?
Piece of trash.
Alien Covenant or The Covenant? Yeah, like the magic-y like, it's
one.
Basically like Twilight kind of thing, yeah?
Yeah, but it was before Twilight. Yeah.
So it's less Twilight-y.
No, it was like Twilight before Twilight.
It's pretty much
weird.
Twilight.
How dare you?
Yeah, right. Crazy. Anyways, going back to The Predator.
Yes.
Before we get into spoilers and things like that, Paul, do you have any like reasons why you really hated this movie? Other than you just hating it without giving away too much?
Because it wasn't The Covenant. Just,
before we go into spoilers.
It's not what I wanted. It's not, like even Predators, it had that Predator feel. It's like you're hunting, you're being hunted, you are screwed. You kind of go in a little bit confident and you're like, by the end, you're like, holy balls, how am I going to kill this thing? It's killable, but how am I going to do it? And it's just gratuitous and so that kind of thing. This movie lacked all of that.
Yeah.
Like it had the things.
I get what you mean. It doesn't have like the suspense that those movies had. And I do understand that complaint. And when you're going into this movie expecting it to be really suspenseful, I can understand you not being happy with the results, because it isn't really, I wouldn't say it's a thriller movie or anything like that. And there's no real sense of danger in it.
Exactly. And that's what I wanted. If I wanted to see a kind of funny monster movie, then I'd just go and see The Meg again.
Can I be honest?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And say, I respect your opinion, Paul, but I honestly, I was curious to know what your, like, I wanted to know, like, what, like, I didn't really know what defined a Predator movie in the first place, really, because in my opinion,
have you seen them?
Yes. And they're all very different. They're all very different movies in my opinion. And I honestly didn't think the first one was that suspenseful anyway. Like, yeah, there are elements, but to me, it always felt like a parody of like Vietnam War films mixed and sci-fi alien kind of thing. Like it was kind of like a take on the Alien film in a fun way. Like I'm not sure if it was just the way I watched it and my opinions of Arnie and the fact that I could never take it seriously in the first place. But I never thought of it as like a super suspenseful film to be taken seriously and to take those.
Yeah.
So for me, the comedy in this was the best thing about it. I thought it played really well into what the original was about for me anyway.
Mm.
Yeah.
That's my opinion.
It was funny.
Yeah, it was so funny.
It was a really good movie.
So funny.
The thing with me, the reason that I liked it is because of the way that it sort of plays into the absurdity of the whole franchise, like the craziness of the whole thing. And it really plays that up in such a way that it's just subtly mocking itself. And sometimes not so subtly mocking itself. Like there is that line, like get to the choppers when they're talking about the motorbikes. Yes. It's like really, that like that
so
is really
bad.
On the nose.
Or even when Olivia Munn's character gets pulled into the lab and she walks up to the thing on the table and she's like, you are one beautiful mother effer. Yeah. I'm like, okay, I like that. That's great.
Definitely.
Yeah,
it's good.
It's completely the reverse of what Arnold Schwarzenegger says in the original. Yeah, like there are like so many.
I like it's like we call it the Predator. It's like, oh, it sounds like a game hunter. It's like, well, we thought of that, but we took a vote and Predator sounds cool.
I actually really love that running joke. Like, I love that running joke that they're like, the definition doesn't make sense. Like, because a Predator is something.
They brought it back. It's like, I literally said that 5 minutes before, 5 minutes ago. So.
And that was kind of like the icebreaker joke when she met the other soldiers.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I felt that that was like something that in a way, like it's such a tongue in cheek kind of approach to this series. And it kind of, in my mind, it like revitalized it in such a different way because it still had plenty of gore. It lacked the suspense, I suppose, of the original. And there are some suspense moments in the original, especially back when it first came out, like when we're kids and we watched it. There's still a level of like what's going to happen kind of thing.
Yeah.
Until you realize when you're an adult that everyone's going to die except for Arnold Schwarzenegger.
That's probably another reason why
Predators was on the other night and I watched that. Yeah. And there's still moments where you're like, damn.
I think I just realized like another reason why we probably had different opinions on.
Okay.
First on the original Predator, because I didn't see it until like I was over 20. Kind of thing. I didn't see it as a kid. So I was growing up and none of the scares were scary. And it's
you're
probably
coming
why
into it. Coming into it. Kind of.
But like as in I understand films and jump scares and all that stuff more. I understand that everyone's gonna die in this movie. Not surprising. And it's probably why I have very different opinions on the first Predator film and the first Alien movie. Like Alien to me is one of the most terrifying films ever because I saw that when I was way too young. Yeah. And Predator, I saw that when I was a bit too old. So
see, I'm in the middle, right? Because I actually watched, I never watched Predator, the first one.
Yeah.
Till I was a bit older, but I watched Predator 2 when I was like 9 or 10, like way too young to watch that movie.
My goodness.
I might have even been 8, I don't even know, but I was like year 4 or 5, so whatever that is. Anyway, so I watched that at a friend's house, and that like here it's like an R-rated movie in the States. I think it's like NC-17 or something like that. So pretty violent, got everything in it. Like it's a movie that I really shouldn't have been watching, but I thought it was awesome. And I loved the suspense in the movie and I loved like the mythology that they'd built with the character.
Yeah.
So coming back to that as an adult, like all I had was this memory of watching a movie I probably shouldn't have been watching when I was like 8 or 9 years old, and I never had like a real attachment to it though. Like it wasn't like that movie that I watched all the time and I didn't love the movie. I was just like, oh yeah, that's cool. So I could basically watch this movie and not feel like it was ruining my childhood by changing it up and ripping it off and really like mocking the nostalgia that I have for a movie that I don't really feel that nostalgic about.
Fair enough.
Paul, were you insulted by the way that they did things in this movie?
I'm not insulted. I don't like it to that level. It's a great, I like the franchise. I was just disappointed. Just kind of, like I like a lot of, one of the critiques I've heard is that it doesn't follow on from previous movies. And I think that's total crap. Like they've got
totally
a whole,
does.
It exactly. And they've got like a whole thing about does. It. It is linked. And I like that. And I thought it's like, absolutely. Of course, we've got a special unit who are tracking and, you know, working with these things. And I like the fact that they are talking about why they keep coming to Earth. And they, you know, they put it on the whole, like, you know, global warming, we're nearly dead, get all the good stuff now kind of thing. I was like, that was great. I just,
yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. It just, I just wasn't digging it.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah.
Mm.
Fair enough.
I think to summarize this podcast so far, the Nerds Before Birds crew are analyzing a film that centers all around their childhoods. And we're focusing, we all come from it from a personal, this apparently is a very personal film for a lot of us.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah.
Yeah.
For different reasons. So, yeah, join us on this personal journey.
We'll all be sobbing by the end of it and hugging.
It's not my childhood.
All right, so I think that's well and truly enough without going into spoilers. I think we can go into spoilers now. So if you're still listening and you're worried about spoilers, get out now. But if you're still hanging around,
Oh my gosh.
Wait, what? Wait. Was that
you have
that
a membership
impression or yours?
You got a membership? How did you get a membership?
Of the bad impression?
Well, apparently they kicked someone out and they were like, hey, we've got a spot. I was like, okay.
Hey.
Oh, man.
How you doing?
Oh, my gosh.
Joey's got Jason's got a membership to the Joey fan club.
Man, that's how just Brooklyn.
How you doing,
Joey?
Oh, my goodness.
Anyways.
All right.
So twists, we had like two twists in this movie, really. And one of them came fairly early on, and that was when they kill the predator, like the new predator comes in, like the scout or whatever they called it, the tracker.
The hunter?
It comes in. The hunter? Is that what they called it?
The big boy?
Yeah.
Yeah, the hunter.
He comes in and he kills the original predator in this movie. And he becomes the big bad predator now.
Let's call him the classic.
The classic. He kills the classic, which I was a little bit disappointed with because the CGI on that predator was not the greatest. And I really love the original suit. Like, that holds up so well.
It looks awesome.
It actually looks so good. Yeah, it still, after all these years, looks so good. Like, I know that they've done, like, changes and little subtle things, but really, it looks really good. But what did you think, Dean? Did you like the twist or did you know about it? You knew about it because it's in the trailer,
It was
right?
in the trailer. And also, I agree, the old suit holds up. It's testament, like, I didn't realize until just recently that the original Predator does not feel like it was filmed in the 80s. Like, you can watch it and really appreciate it. And it's like, this feels like it's really, you know, quite new
fresh,
which is awesome.
Plus, they were using blanks, which gave the guns a lot more of a real feel.
Right.
Yeah,
awesome. Which you just don't get in films anymore.
But anyway, you don't have to reload with blanks, apparently.
Jumping in on the bad CGI wagon, there was two moments in that movie. One, where they blew up the first, like, hunting dog. And it was
You
remember? Yeah. And that looked terrible. It looked
like funny. That was played for laughs. So it doesn't need to be good. But then
there was another one where one of the muzzle flashes, I think the muzzle flash element extended the whole of like the frame that you would use so you could see the box that they like screened.
Oh, no.
Really? Yeah.
What?
Yeah, you could just see serious? The element. Yeah.
I never noticed that.
Yeah.
It's terrible.
Oh, that's awesome.
I need to rewatch this.
To see it.
Wow.
So it had like just a rough square around the end.
It was, muzzle flash square.
No.
Wow.
That's bad.
That is bad on a big budget movie.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
I agree with you, Jason.
There were a few like dodgy CGI, but
I agree
what were you
on
saying?
I agree on the CGI element that the new bad guy just didn't feel as bad or, you know, scary as the real practical classic Predator ever did. Because it's got a real presence. It's really scary. The CG one just, it like, because it looked cheap, it didn't feel scary. But.
No.
There was, but I did think it was interesting and it actually genuinely surprised me when they did kill off the classic Predator. so quickly.
Yeah, because I was expecting them to do like the whole Predator versus Alien, the enemy of my enemy is
whole,
my friend.
Yeah, the whole team up.
That whole thing.
Awesome. Fighting with a Predator.
Well, they've already done that.
So I'm glad they didn't do that. Yeah. I'm glad they just killed him off. And I was like, it's brutal, but
I didn't
liked
expect it.
I totally
expected the team up and maybe like the Predator, the classic Predator would die later on in the movie. But
yeah.
To have it happen just like that and just gone dead.
Yeah.
That surprised me. And it did go a further, like, you know, it was a step in the right direction to setting up this new Predator as the bigger evil, but then the CGI let it down. So, yeah.
So the script writing.
Awesome. Back off.
The jokes are awesome.
Oh my god. Ooh, we can translate it now.
There's a whole
What did you think of the big bad Paul? Did you like it? You hate it? Or is it just another thing on the poop aisle for you?
I hated it. I really, really hated it. For multiple reasons. Here we go.
Yeah.
One.
Yeah. Multiple. Two reasons.
Why does it have to be 11 feet big? The coolest thing about these things is 11 like,
feet big.
Look, 11.
Stop. It had 11 feet
big.
That was 11 feet big.
11 feet tall. No. Yep. I the Predator suit is awesome. I love it when it, like, you know, they think they've lost it and then you just see the angle of the thermal vision. You're like, oh yeah, you haven't lost anything at all. I love the cannon that pops out of the shoulder with that three little LED tracking laser. That's classic Predator.
Oh yeah.
It's got the throwing disc. It's got the sword in its arm, which the big boy had, but it's just stupid. I don't care. Like, I want to fight. I want to see them fight Predator. I don't want to see them fight, like, Crocosaurus.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, fair enough. Wow. Yeah, because he doesn't, like, the design is a lot different.
Yeah.
And I think, it does take a lot to get used to change in these kind of things.
Yeah.
And overall, I didn't like the CGI, but...
I
did appreciate them killing off the Predator. Yeah. I thought that was actually pretty cool.
I hated that it was bulletproof as well.
Bulletproof?
Yeah, that's boring.
Oh, yeah.
She walks up to him with a machine gun and it does nothing. It's like, what's the point?
Oh, man.
Right, as in too overpowered.
Yeah.
Talking about the machine gun and Olivia Munn's character.
Yeah.
When did she become like... trained in like doing everything? Is it just like a thing in America that like they all have
guns,
you know, like they're just used to having guns, so they're like, I'm ready to go.
I have a theory on this.
Do you have something?
I have a theory on the Olivia Munn thing, and it plays into the whole controversy that's happened around the release of this film. Do we want to get into that yet, or?
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Okay. Well, we can talk about this. Yeah. So there was a few scenes cut from this movie because one of the guys that were cast in it was revealed that they were actually they're in trouble as a
sex offender.
What was it that they? A sex offender, yeah. So they actually cut the scenes that Olivia Munn shares with the character. So are you one thinking scene. That might have been part of the...
Yeah.
So it was a one scene.
I heard it was one scene. Now, I may be wrong, and they haven't released what scene it was, but yeah, so this guy was Shane Black's friend. Shane Black knew about it and still cast him.
No, he didn't know about it, I don't think.
He didn't know the extent of what had happened. And so there's a whole thing. We'll talk about that later.
There was a conversation that, and then Shane Black came out and said something along the lines of he wanted to believe his friend, but then when he found out exactly what had happened or whatever, he's realized that it's basically he's been lied to and sort of betrayed by his friend.
Yeah, pretty insane.
And
anyway, so my theory on this and the reason, like, you know, why Olivia Munn can all of this, like, her character doesn't really make heaps of sense is I feel like the scene that was cut with Shane Black's friend
might have been vital.
Was the vital first scene, the introduction scene that, like, when she's introduced. Because think about when she gets introduced, it's really weird. It's just like they approach her in a park. There's no kind of like precurrence or anything, or like, you know, explanation of what she's doing, where, why she's there. Just pick her up from a park, okay, and then they cut away.
They explained that though. Like, I think like that was a cool. I don't think it was cool. Nothing in this movie was cool. But it was
you saying, like, Dean, are you saying that you think that there might have been, like, a scene of, like, her at, like, a range or something, like, shooting a whole heap of weapons and doing something, and then that's a precursor to the government coming?
Just an establishing... There was no establishing scene for this character, and I feel like the scene in question would have shown that she had a tough side to her, at least, because the general description for the scene that has been cut was that this guy comes and hits on her, and that's all we know. But in my head, the way, like, you know, from a screenwriting perspective, I think, okay, if we want to establish Olivia Munn's character as, you know, a tough female, intelligent character that can stand up for herself and can go up against, you know, the predator in, like, later on in the movie, you want to show her standing up against, like, a
drunk dude at a bar,
smaller foe. At first, you know, that, like,
a crocodile.
That's generally what I thought. Like, I feel like there was a scene missing, her introduction, establishing scene, where if she was set up in that scene as a tough character, then everything with the guns and everything later on would have been so much more believable. That's my opinion on that.
Like, man, it would have had to been some cool character introduction, because it pretty much goes like everything hits the fan. Her first instinct is to grab and load a rifle, trank thing,
could
and start hunting.
That she,
and
you're she could have had a firearm in a handbag for defense, that kind of thing. Be ready to go.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like,
it definitely felt like, because I was like, oh, she's like the scientist like character. Then all of a sudden she's like army special forces as well, it seems. What? Like, she's just like out of nowhere.
Makes
so
no sense.
Maybe it's related to that cutscene, but what were you going to say, Paul?
Scriptwriters, hear me out. If you're a scriptwriter, listen to this.
Yeah.
Stop. Stop saying that your character wrote the book on stuff. It's 2018. The book's been written. Book's been written for years. You're not adding anything new to the world, let alone, ooh, you wrote the book on biology. Look, you're 28 it's 2018. Paul.
As someone who wrote the book on script writing,
I think you're wrong. Control V. As someone who control C, control V, the book on script writing, let me tell you.
Guys, as someone who wrote the book on podcasts, I think that we're going way off track here. We need to focus.
I've seen that book as well. Look, this is how thick his book is.
Shut up, you bastard.
Speaking of writing the book, this is actually really a mash of a lot of movies, if you didn't notice. So that is just one of many things that Shane Black's stolen and sort of mashed into the thing. But some of the movies that he's used references to, Minority Report, which is Minority Report. I've got that wrong.
Technically, the predators are a minority on this earth.
Boom. And it's been reported a lot of in the news lately.
At least four times.
Minority Report is not even the movie that I was like.
So you're just saying stuff now. Look, as someone who wrote the book on references, Jason, let me just. Got to get your references right.
You know what? I said Minority Report, but I meant Mercury Rising. I don't know where I got Minority
but
Report.
Same
from.
Initials.
MR.
Anyways, I know. It's the same initials. And I'm like, I'm even like reading my notes. I've written Minority Report, a Bruce Willis movie. And I'm like, what? It's not even a Bruce Willis movie. It's
Tom, rated Minority Tom Cruise.
Man, anyways, you got to get.
So Mercury Rising. Have you guys ever seen Mercury Rising?
No, you have to listen, like have a talk with Paul, because, you know, as the person that wrote the book
wrote
on
the
cross sticks
on movie references,
he can let you know about you know he can tell
anyway,
you about
so
initials.
Minority Report is about a kid that damn it, I did it again.
We have a new Schneider, everybody.
Mercury Rising. I'm going to
Matrix
write it
Revolution. Well, yeah.
it's another MR. So Mercury Rising is a movie with Bruce Willis in it where it follows a...
Madagascar follows Returns as a movie.
Mercury Rising is a movie that follows a kid with... He has autism, and there is a code that's actually put out in a newspaper by the government, and it's a code that they need. Yes, yeah. You've probably seen it. Yeah, you're looking like you have. So he needs to figure it out, and he figures out the code, and basically then there's a whole heap of like conspiracy things and all that stuff going on, and Bruce Willis is thrown together with this kid with autism, and he's trying to protect him. So there's massive references to that in this because you have a kid, Jacob Tremblay's character. He's the kid with Asperger's. And
is it Asperger's?
Yeah, okay. And he has a knack for, like, that actor has, like, a knack for acting like a troubled child. Like, if you've ever seen The Room... He's fantastic in that.
Oh, that was the kid.
Yeah, he's the kid. Yeah, he's the kid from that.
I knew you looked familiar.
Such a good movie. Yes. Such like, it gets me every time I watch it. It's like,
so good.
Gut punch at the end. But anyways,
that twist at the end when you find out she's Captain Marvel. Oh, jeez.
Yeah, and she like flies away.
She flies away. Rescues the kid.
I haven't seen The Room either, audience. So I don't know how to talk about.
So you're like, yeah, I have no idea.
How crap was Predator?
It's from Room, not The Room. It's a different, completely different movie.
It's the sequel.
Anyways, yeah. There's references to that, to Mercury Rising, not Minority Report. There's also references to The Fugitive, basically they're all The Fugitive because like they're all like on the one thing and Harrison they all escape Ford. Kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
The Harrison Ford. There's obviously references to Predator.
What?
There's heaps of Marvel. Yeah. Yeah. Surprisingly, there's heaps of references.
Didn't notice.
Shocko. anyways, there's Cujo? Marvel movies. What? Cujo?
Cujo. The dog movie. You know, where the dog goes crazy and just kills some folks. There's dogs in this one too.
Oh, yeah, because there's dogs. No, there's heaps of other actual references.
Oh, sorry.
There's references to Shooter. Because, like, obviously he's a sniper and all those things. There's Bourne Legacy. There's heaps of references to that, especially the scene where the Predator first wakes up and they're stuck in the facility, like the science facility. Mm-hmm. And Olivia Munn's character has to sort of hide from the Predator while it's going on its rampage. There's heaps of other references, but I feel Terminator. Like Shane Black's really good with doing references, but also subverting expectations with the way that things play out. Like there's a scene early on in The Nice Guys. Have you guys ever seen The Nice Guys?
Yes. The glass breaking scene. Is that what you're talking about?
Oh, the glass breaking scene is the funniest sort of thing.
Yeah.
It is by far my favorite thing. And I think that's the beauty of Shane Black humor is he's like really good at poking out like the ridiculous nature. Like there is a moment in this movie where all the odd group that they're in, like the team when they first assemble, and Olivia Munn's tranked herself and she's waking up in the bed and they're all trying to act really natural and stand like, you know, perfectly still, and they make like the stereotypical all the like the team kind of photo, and they look so awkward and so uncomfortable that it just points out every action movie cliche where you have that moment where they're all in their pose, but like how ridiculous it actually is in reality because it's so awkward for people to get into those positions to be like
so
looking
funny.
Natural. Do you remember that in this movie, Paul? Don't, you seem to be like,
get away from her. You freak her out.
I think I remember. Yeah. It's been a while since I've watched it. It was funny. I did enjoy it. But yeah.
Yeah. But I love that. I love all the references. Like Mercury Rising was a great movie. Mm-hmm. I remember watching it when I was a kid. And to have this sort of play out the same way. And then you also have a character in this that has Tourette's, which in real life, Shane Black actually has Tourette's as well.
No way.
Similar to Thomas Jane's character. So, Tourette's. So he actually wrote that in. Yeah.
I thought you said Tourette's. You wrote Tourette's. You wrote in the list of conversation points, Thomas Jane, who has Tourette's.
It must
Tourette's.
Have been like spell check.
The guy has tangerines.
I was like, yeah, what the heck? I don't remember a tank
that
scene.
That was a thing that I thought this movie did cool. Like, there's not a whole many, like, it was good to see, like, autism disabilities, I don't know, things were more celebrated. So, like, you did have the kid who had Asperger's, and it wasn't like a crippling thing for him. Like, it kind of was at first, but he sort of ended up being not a hero, but like a very important part of this study and of like learning the alien culture and just kind of progressing the story. And then the dude with the Tourette's.
Yeah, yeah. Tourette's.
He was, you know, he was brave. He just kind of like, yeah, he's got Tourette's, but
yeah,
he's still going to go out there and kick some butt, which was cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Take everyone on with this Tourette syndrome. It was great.
Yeah. You know what? I'm going to cut this.
I'm going to cut you guys too. Jokes.
You know, I've realized that like for some reason I've done it twice, and the one that I cut because I didn't want you guys to know that Shane Black actually suffers from Tourette's.
That's spelled right.
I actually spelled that right. And that's the one I'm looking at.
Oh, okay.
And then down of like, who has Tourette's? Yes, you're right.
Thomas Jane, who has Tourette's? That, like, yeah. I knew what you meant. I'll be honest. Funny. I knew what you meant. I definitely
had to look this up to make sure I spelled
Tourette's
right.
Thomas Jane could have Tourette's. We don't know.
Yeah, he could. Yeah, we don't know.
His house. But,
We don't follow him for that long, unfortunately.
But what did you guys think of Thomas Jane's character, who suffered from Tourette's? And then you had Keegan-Michael Key, his character, who I can only describing as being Key-like, like Keegan-Michael mm-hmm. Key-esque.
He was more
kind
like
of thing.
Deadpool from the X-Men Deadpool before he becomes whatever the hell.
Yeah, like the right. Quippy guy.
Quippy, yeah.
He had full Keegan syndrome right there.
Yeah, he definitely had Keegan. Anyway.
James knows Tourette's.
Tourette's, you mean?
Tourette's. Sorry.
So anyways, what did you guys think of their relationship? Sort of how it like developed over the course of the movie. It seemed like they were like completely antagonizing each other in the beginning, but by the end you meant to believe that they're like really good friends. Yeah. And they do like the dual shooting each other
they
kind of
each
moment
other.
Like
I think
which
were they friends or lovers, because I think they were trying to play up that
they were playing that up too. Yeah like it was I was wondering that too, like is that what they were they actually lovers?
That's how I read it. And I thought it was hilarious.
No, I think it was like a best friend kind of thing. It's like they care about each other.
Best friend.
Man. And it's like they do that purely so in 5 minutes' time they can shoot each other in the face. Mercy kill.
And you know what? Like in the cinema that me and Dean were at, that moment, because I'm like, are they trying to play this for laughs or is this meant to be a serious moment? Everyone else in the cinema was like laughing and I'm sitting there confused as to what I meant to be feeling.
It was like an awkward laugh, like a
yeah. I was like
that's kind of sad.
Because it goes from like really lighthearted funny and then we're killing each other now.
Yeah.
Okay.
I kind of
like,
feel like,
and it looks so ridiculous too, the way that they're like positioned. As well, like so I feel like that's meant to be a joke, but I'm not sure whether it's just unintentional humor.
For me, that's probably the biggest problem with this movie. Like it's really funny and really like, you know, there are some intense moments, but sometimes there are moments where the two clash a bit, and that was one of those moments where it's kind of like he didn't quite like sometimes the mix of comedy and I've got to say horror loosely because it wasn't too much of that, but they like the action side of things just didn't kind of meld together as well. But then there were moments where it just was fantastic and hilarious. Yeah. I think the key was when the team was together, it was the funniest thing ever.
It is really funny.
Really played well together. It was so good.
And that was good. Like the scene when Olivia Munn woke up.
Yeah, exactly.
And then like,
yeah.
Oh, I told you so she'd funny. Go for the gun.
So, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I told
yeah,
you that she'd yeah. fire it. Oh,
that's funny.
It was so good.
They were like, oh.
And the scene where they're not wanting to go, like, follow him when they're at the wife's house. And they just want to sit there and watch TV
oh, yeah.
and stay out of the fight.
Yeah, like so Alfie funny. Allen's character
yeah.
and the other one.
The turrets guy.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't him.
Oh, Nettles.
He goes.
Augusto Aguilera.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it was Nettles.
Yeah, when he gets, I was like, your speech didn't do anything for me. I wasn't
yeah. Rodella.
Yeah.
Pussy.
Yeah.
So funny.
That was pretty funny. That was pretty funny. I did appreciate like a lot of that humor and like just subverting a lot of those moments that are in action movies
yeah.
where you have those inspirational speeches mm-hmm. that gets everyone on board to go and do the mission or whatever. And then like, you know, to have a few of the characters like, no, you know, it's fully like going back to like the Spartacus kind of era where it's like, I am Spartacus mm-hmm. and everyone stands up sort of thing. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you know, in the moment in the movie, it's like really inspirational. But if you take a step back from that moment and you go, what are they all doing right now? Oh, they're just being idiots. Like, it's so dumb, really.
Yeah. It's like the...
Especially in Spartacus, because they all just get crucified at the end of that movie, if spoilers for a movie that came out in the 60s. But,
yeah.
Yeah, like, they all, like, admit to being Spartacus, and then it's like, okay, well, we're going to kill you all kind of thing. And you're like, why?
It's like
why are you doing this? What are you proving?
The whole, oh, captain, my captain in
yeah.
Dead Poets Society. It was like,
yeah, really? Yeah.
And then I loved how they parodied that scene in that episode of Community.
Yes.
With the teacher. No, I was like, stand up on your desks.
I farted.
Stand up on your desks. And then the chick falls off her desk.
yeah. Anyway. What did you guys think of Boyd Holbrook? He's from Narcos and Logan, and he's obviously the lead role in this. He plays Quinn in this. Mm-hmm. Did you like him as a leading man? Because, like, I mean, he's pretty good in Narcos, I thought, but I haven't really seen him in anything other than Narcos and Logan. Have you guys seen him in anything else, Dean?
No, that's my experience with him as an actor as well. Narcos, yeah. I agree. Narcos is brilliant. And
sorry, what?
Narcos.
Okay.
I know what I said. Let's not go back.
Narcos.
Yeah.
Nope.
Yeah, I don't know how, like, I can't actually pick him up on that because I don't know what's the correct pronunciation.
I'm just going to say things with confidence from now on.
Yeah.
I don't care what you say. It is Zack Schneider.
Do it, Schneider.
Say, yeah.
Come on.
All right. So Narcos is great and he's really awesome in that. But I feel like so far what I've seen from his acting is he's really good at playing off other people, like crazier characters. And I feel like that, I kind of like as the leading character, I feel like he kind of fell a bit flat, except for when he was played off the other characters. For me, that was when... He came out and shone as a, you know, really good performance in this
it's
movie.
Not any good. It's not going to
It's great,
watch.
Man. It's yeah? awesome. Yeah.
Sweet.
Yeah. I like it, but it's like, it's not the greatest show, I think, but that's like, I'll watch it. And I feel like after season two, I just sort of like, I haven't watched anymore, actually,
okay.
to be honest.
I haven't watched. I'm still working through season two, so.
Yeah, it's great, but he hasn't watched the...
Shut
like,
up.
What is it? It's like on season four now.
Yeah, I know. So maybe
such
I'm
a great
just,
show.
Dude, I'm slow to the mark, but maybe I'm just in the, you know, heyday. It's like, you know, Walking Dead's great until you get to season, like, 2.5.
Yeah.
Anyway,
that's fair.
Yeah.
What about you, Paul? What did you think of Boyd Holbrook? Did you like him in this? Have you seen him in Logan? Well, you've seen Logan.
I've seen Logan.
You've seen Logan. Yeah.
He was good in Logan. Yeah. I thought he was all right. Like, there was a moment where a few times where I kind of wanted to just be like just sort of clear your throat a little bit, mate, because you're sort of going for the very, like, gruff Texan.
The growly.
Yeah, which is fine. I mean, look, if you were fighting an alien, you can talk however you want, but he was good.
Yeah,
I liked him. I didn't hate him.
Like,
his interaction, like you said, Dean, I think was spot on. He plays off the group very, very well.
Yeah.
And I like that he was sort of the central linchpin kind of keeping this crew together.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. My concern is that he kind of, as an actor going forward, he'll just blend into the background and become very typecast. Like, he's very much like a Charlie Hunnam, Joel Kinnaman kind of character, kind of actor. Like, you're just, you know.
Yeah, I think,
generic.
Joel
okay.
Kinnaman is a very, very accurate example, I think, because he can he's good, and I really liked him on Altered Carbon and when he was in House of Cards, but overall you kind of like, it's sort of he could easily fade into the background sometimes.
Also, they all look too similar, honestly.
They do. he does look a bit like him.
Yeah. Anyway. That's my opinion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
I'm just racist.
Yeah, that's it.
All white people look the same.
Whoa.
Yeah, yeah. Whoa. Ease up. Ease up. Yeah. Yeah, settle down there. Okay, so let's move on to something that I personally loved. Was the Predator dogs, and the one that sort of becomes a pet to them in the movie.
Oh, yeah.
What did you guys think of that? I can see Paul. Paul, what did you think of that? Did you hate that?
What the hell? What was that thing? It didn't do anything.
It did.
It just kind of popped up. It was just like that, that one guy at a party that you just kind of, you're nice to him because you just met him, and then you've realized you made a big mistake and you're like, oh, you're actually an idiot and I want to get away from you. But no one else wants to talk to them, so they keep following you around. So you go to a new conversation, and all of a sudden they're like, hey, man. You're like, oh, go away.
I like to call that friend Paul.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah.
It makes my point.
Wow.
Yeah. Like, I don't understand that they lobotomized it. What the hell happened to the dog?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a bit weird.
What happened to it?
It's like, kind of like, Stockholm Syndrome kind of thing?
It's just roaming free, right? Like, in the end of the movie, it survives and gets away. At one stage, I thought they were, like, locking it in the truck when the thing was going to blow up. And I was like, you guys are jerks. Don't kill, like, that cute dog.
But then it just happens to get out and run away. Like,
yeah. Perfect. And I was like, that's right. I was actually a little relieved, to be honest. I liked it. I liked the dog.
Yeah.
I'm a sucker for dogs in movies like these. Like, my favorite characters in some movies are the dog. Like in John Carter.
John Carter.
That dog is my favorite character in that movie almost.
Right.
In John Wick. In I Am Legend.
Oh,
the dog is even in
Night at the Museum when he like becomes friends with the T-Rex skeleton. It's like a big dog.
Like, exactly. But so like there's this like little sort of soft side that I kind of even though I know it's very cliched and I know like what they're doing is very contrived, I buy into it because I really like dogs and I don't know why. That I was just like, I don't care that they've like lobotomized this thing. They've like sort of almost like contrive this whole thing so that it could be a pet to them. And I was like, this is awesome. But I think I've just traumatized Dean with the comment of I Am Legend right now.
I'm still upset about the dog from I Am Legend, man.
It's kind of like what I would have liked. You guys have seen I Am Number 4?
Yes.
You know the dog in that? I wanted that kind of a relationship. It never like hung out with the people. It never like, there was never a moment where it became like the dog. It was sort of like, the dog's here. Someone's going to scream at it. I'm going to throw a thing and it's going to run away. And that's sort of its relationship. Yeah. But in I Am Number 4, it's like, here's this dog. We like the dog. But when it hits the fan, the dog turns into this massive monster, just wrecks stuff. And it's like,
spoilers
great.
For that's right. I Am Number 4 right there. Because that's a big reveal.
No, it's not.
Yeah.
It kind of
it is. The movie's from like 2008.
Like almost 10
big
years
old. Big reveal for
it's,
a little
it's
movie.
It's fine.
Oh, I liked it.
It was okay.
I like that movie. I like that movie. And I wish they had made the sequels to it. But anyways.
Totally. I'm with you.
Anyways, I think we're getting to almost out of time. But let's get into our ranking for these movies. So where does this fall on the scale of there's been like, I think it's 5 movies so far, including Alien versus Predator.
Well, that'll be 6, right? No, you're right.
Yeah.
5. 4 has it.
Before we get to the ranking, real quick. Do we want to talk about the ending?
Oh yeah,
the setup for the yeah. What did you guys think of the Predator killer? I actually leaned over to Dean in that moment and I was like, I bet it's like a face hugger that was gonna open up and they were just gonna like have this face hugger just released in the middle of the room.
Oh, that would have been
and
cool.
I was a little disappointed. What did you think, Dean? You did say something,
I thought it was gonna be Arnie. He just pop out and let's kick some ass. Let's do it.
Stop it.
Sorry, what was that? What was that? What were you thinking he'd say, Dean?
Just something like that. Okay, so bit of a disclaimer.
Tune in next week for Dean's apology.
My Arnie impersonator membership has like been granted back as a temporary kind of membership.
Not anymore. Just
kind of, yeah, depending on how this goes. So I've been practicing. But basically, my thoughts was that Arnie would pop out and just be like, what are you doing? Get out of here.
Still going. Still going.
Stop doing it.
Get the predator. Get to the chopper. That is how you do it. No.
We're trying to make a successful podcast.
I feel so confident right now.
You're killing me.
All right.
I was low-key hoping it was going to be Adrian Brody from Predators.
Oh man, that would have been cool.
They've got him back off. He's the Predator killer.
Yeah, right.
How sick would that have been?
That would have been cool.
And then you've linked that movie as well.
So with that twist right at the end and that kind of thing, he's given him the Predator killer or whatever. Why in the beginning does he actually kill? Like, why is he killing humans? And why is he?
Yeah, yeah. Why is he killing humans, Jason?
That is a question. Yeah.
I was like, okay, I'm on board until that moment because they're like, he's given us a gift. I was like, what? Mm. When did he become a good guy?
Yeah,
like, he cut a dude in half.
Is it kind of like he does. He cuts a good guy in half. Is it kind of like when people die and you can't say a bad thing about them, kind of thing? Because you're like, oh, he's died now, so we're gonna. Oh, he was a good guy all along.
I wish I knew.
What a great guy!
He was really good. He blew up a school. Yeah, but salt of the earth, man.
yeah. Just really down to earth.
Killed Jerry.
Guy.
I hated Jerry.
Jerry sucked anyway. We all wanted to kill Jerry.
Yeah.
Brave.
He did
brave
the
guy.
Earth a favor.
Where did that change? Like, and
it's a good point.
And then, yeah, why did they capture him if, like, he was like willingly coming to help?
Mm-hmm. Unless, like, my only argument for that is maybe he willingly didn't like the suit was for him. It was going to be his suit.
Yeah.
And when he was escaping at the very beginning, he just landed on Earth and was like, holy crap, what are these? But let's just kill everything and get out of here.
Right.
But
yeah, right. Because the thing is he gets like separated from the main part of the ship, right? Mm-hmm. Like that's what happens when he ejects out or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. So he was trying to get back to that. And then maybe it's just the way of that character making like a, like they just sort of say it's a gift to us in a way of like, you know, he's given us the technology that we stole off him kind of thing, really. So, semantics.
It's kind of like if Thanos showed up in Infinity War and just randomly got killed for some reason and then left the Infinity Gauntlet in the Earth. The Avengers picked it up. Oh, look what Thanos collected for us. Thanks, man.
Exactly.
Yeah.
What a nice guy.
That's probably it.
That was dumb.
He's such a nice guy now that he's dead.
But here's the problems I had with the suit. One, okay, it looked awesome. I'll give him that. It looked sick. Yeah. I want to see that thing in action. That's going to be awesome. Two, if this is an entire race based on constant evolution, hunting the best predators, upgrading yourselves, why the hell do they have this suit? If this can kill them, why is it not part of them?
Mm.
I don't know.
Yeah. And also, and boy's like, is what is that? It's like, that's my new suit. You're like, who the hell are you? The fugitive like 3 days ago.
Fair enough.
I think at that point I was just angry.
Yeah,
it looks good.
Like, I think I suppose it comes from like the fact that from the beginning you're not on board with the movie.
Yeah.
I went into the movie not expecting much, really. I was expecting a funny movie. And I got that. I was like, yeah, okay, this is funny and I'm just going to go for the ride. It is like a mess of a movie when you really think about
it.
Oh,
yeah.
But it's fun.
It is fun
and it's hilarious. And that's why I like the movie. Hey, on a side note, going back to another Shane Black movie, did either of you guys, what did you think of Iron Man 3?
I was about to, Jason, I had like such a good transition for that. Right there.
Okay, go.
Yeah.
Okay, so for me.
Let's backtrack.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For me with that robot, that suit at the end.
Iron Man 3.
I loved it.
Damn it.
I love the movie, but that kind of played off as a bit silly for me because it kind of just like felt like a bit of an in-joke from Shane Black. It was like, oh, hey guys, did you know that I directed Iron Man 3?
Yeah.
Here's the evidence.
Hey guys, ruined another franchise as well. Have a look.
So you think he ruined that franchise?
It's easily the worst Iron Man.
I enjoyed Iron Man 3.
Yeah, I actually really enjoyed Iron Man 3. I think the worst one is definitely Iron Man 2. Like Iron Man 2 is crap.
It is not.
Yeah. It is definitely, when we get to our MCU ranking, I'm sure we'll fight that out.
But
this right here is a whole podcast in its own.
I think I just hate Shane Black.
Yeah, I think you do. I think
what
you
else
do.
Has he done?
Do you like the nice guys, though?
Do you like the nice guys?
Do you like Lethal Weapon?
I like Lethal Weapon.
Paul?
Kiss, Kiss, Bang, Bang?
Yeah, okay.
I like Kiss, Kiss, Bang, Bang.
Yeah, well, then you like Shane Black.
Well, and he did...
Last Boy Scout?
He did Last Boy Scout?
Yeah, he wrote it.
I like Last Boy Scout. Yeah. It's a great movie.
I know. Okay.
Do you hate Iron Man 3 and The Predator.
But Paul, do you think if you knew that this was Shane Black, the guy who directed Nice Guys, Kiss Kiss Bang Bang, Last Boy Scout before going into this movie, would that have altered your kind of expectations at all and
made
you possibly like, no?
No.
You were pretty set in what you wanted?
Director-wise... It doesn't really affect me movie to movie because so many like, you know, aside from sort of the big guns, like your Abramses, your Spielbergs, your Schneiders, like every now and then.
You just had to throw that in there.
Every now and then they can do a bad movie.
I didn't even notice you did that, you jerk.
Yeah.
I was like, oh yeah. He's saying it properly.
Yeah.
Freak.
M. Night Shyamalan, he did...
Yeah.
What did he do? Was it Sixth Sense?
Last Airbender.
He did that, and then he did Last Airbender.
Yeah. Like, the Happening.
Yeah.
The Happening. My goodness.
The Happening as well. Yeah. Yeah.
He like great movies. Dog poo.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So wait. What did you hate about Iron Man 3? What did you hate about it?
I'm sick.
In a small form. We were getting towards the end, so just like be quick.
In five or less
I
like
the Mandarin. They didn't do the Mandarin well. I read the comics. That's why I hated it.
That's why you hated it.
Yeah.
See, me, I was like, oh, I never really got into the comics, but that whole flip with the Mandarin. And I think this is like, again, where you get like the fanboys and what they want for a thing.
They combined so many great stories.
And then you get
stories.
Something different.
They had like the Tony Stark is sort of like a dying and drinking a lot story. They've got the extremist virus story and they've got the Mandarin. And they when they come out with that knowledge, you're like, this movie's going to be awesome. And it wasn't.
I feel like the way that you approach Iron Man 3 and the Predator is kind of how I approached The Last Jedi, because
because it's exactly the same.
It's when I was a kid and I watched those movies, when I watched Star Wars, I had like such a attachment to that as a child that when they go and do something different and they change it and they tamper with things, I don't like it. I responded really badly, and I think for this movie, they're doing something completely different and you seem to be responding badly to it.
You do have a good point because in a lot of ways, Shane Black's doing exactly what Rian Johnson did in Last Jedi by subverting expectations. That's the main
thing.
And taking a franchise that a lot of people love and hold dear. Not so much Predator, a lot more with Star Wars, but And just flipping things on its head to make something different. Some people love it, some people don't. And so you get very polar opposite views like this podcast. So there you go.
Yeah, it's pretty. Mm. Anyways, so getting to our ranking of these movies, I'm taking it that Paul, I reckon Predator will be low down on your list.
Five birds,
what does it?
Boy.
What does? Where does it ring? Rank in the scheme of things?
Like 1.5.
Whoa! Whoa! That's low. Insulting.
I did laugh a bit. I'd give it a 2.
Wow. Okay.
I'll give it a 2.
Yeah, wow. But what about in the ranking of all the Predator movies? Where does it rank?
The bottom.
Including Alien versus Predator. You rank those movies, Alien versus Predator and Alien versus Predator Requiem, above this?
I haven't seen Requiem.
You haven't seen Requiem?
It's been quite a while since I've seen Alien versus Predator. Really, I don't really remember it that well.
Requiem sucks.
But... how about, really? That's disappointing.
It's really
how about
bad.
In my ranking of Predator titles, purely Predator,
yeah, okay.
It's like fourth.
Purely Predator. Yeah,
it sucks.
It's fourth. Yeah, wow.
Toilet.
Wow.
You got like Predator 1.
What about you, Dean?
Sorry. Okay.
Oh, sorry. No. Predator 1.
I was like, Predator 1, say? Predators, Predator 2, The Predator.
Your hand was off my screen. Yeah, I didn't see that.
The Predator is number one for you because of the way that you were ranking just now with your hand signals. I'm really surprised that you ranked this number one, man.
I've already apologized for this.
I thought it would have been number four, but I don't know, really. Like, just going off your hand signals alone.
Formally apologized. Bringing it back. All right.
Yeah. But yeah, Dean, where do you rank this and what do you give it for your birds?
All right.
And have you seen Alien versus Predator Requiem?
I've seen
as well?
All of them at least one time. Yeah. And
yes. One time.
I've seen them this many times.
Some.
Yeah.
Shut up.
Some more than one times.
Possibly two times.
Yeah, wow.
Yes. This is number two in this. Honestly, wouldn't even bother ranking the two Alien vs. Predator movies in this. For me, they're just like, they're not connected. They're not movies.
Yeah, fair enough.
But, you know, anyway, if we want to, they're down the bottom of my list. This is number two after the original. And then Predators, I did enjoy as well. The one with Adrian Brody.
It's great.
I feel like that was a bit too serious and not as fun. And it kind of like... the movie drags on a bit more than what this movie feels like. This movie, you just bounce on and on and on and go and go and go. And it feels like it's got a lot of energy throughout. And then Predator 2 really sucks.
Yeah. The number three. Yeah. So that's your fourth one. Yeah.
And Fair enough. Alien vs. Predators down the bottom. But this, I would give it 3.5 stars, I think. Oh.
Whoa, that's generous.
Yeah. No, probably... go 3.25.
Yeah.
I don't know. Out of 6.
3.25 out of 6. I'm going to round that up.
Okay.
3.5 out of 5.
I enjoyed it. It was fun. It was hilarious and it was a good time at the movies. Loved it.
Yeah. Yeah. It definitely was a good time. I found it very fun.
Yeah.
For the ranking of the Predator movies, I'd actually put it as number one out of Predator movies.
What?
Yeah, because I love this movie. Yeah, it's actually a lot of fun. Like it's dumb action, and by all accounts, like it's stupid, but it's hilarious, and it's not taking itself seriously, and it's mocking all the other movies, and that's what I love. Like, I love that kind of meta humor, and I think that works really well for this. And
I think it's just heartbreaking, absolute defeat right now. It's an emotional time.
Don't worry about going to Patreon. Not worth it.
Our opinions don't matter, guys, on this, but probably number one for me. Then the original Predator, and then Predators. I really liked Adrian Brody's one.
Solid.
I thought that was pretty cool. And then Predator 2. And then Alien versus Predator, then Alien versus Predator Requiem. It's like right at the bottom. But that's sort of my ranking for this. And I'd probably give it, so like I don't think it's quite a 4-star, so I think I'm probably 3.5 as well. I'm tempted to give it 4 though, because it's I I had a lot of fun with this movie.
Yeah, fair enough.
I really enjoyed it. And that's, I know that Paul's like, absolutely. Look at your face right now. Like, it's just.
I've tuned out.
You're so salty right now.
I'm not salty. You're salty.
You sure?
You're salty. Idiot.
Yeah. You seem a bit salty. Is this like a personal attack at the moment for us to like this movie?
No.
Jason, whatever. Can you just one more time tell us how much you liked this movie? Just do it.
Yeah. Yeah. Because I think Paul hasn't really let us sink in how much I like this movie. Just, and you know what? I'm going to give it a four birds. Four birds.
Scott Schneider, Minority Report. You guys are idiots. Have a great night, everybody.
All right. I think that brings us right about to the end of this week's podcast. If you like this podcast and you want to support the show, you can visit our Patreon page at patreon.com/nerdsbeforebirds. If you can't support financially, just feel free to support us in another way by clicking subscribe or following us on Facebook. Follow us on any social media. Like, I'm sure the Twitter's going really well, isn't it? Is it going great, Paul? Probably as good as your ranking for this movie.
Don't worry about Twitter. You just want to make this podcast suck for Paul, don't you?
Yeah.
By the way, just so you know that, like, later on, after this podcast goes up, we'll have some screenshots of Paul's expression.
Of Paul's expressions.
You're welcome.
I have this many.
This many screenshots.
So many.
It's tragic. Yeah. If you want to see what a defeated man looks like, jump on a Facebook and Twitter and social media.
Jump on a Facebook. defeated men just, in your area.
Just in general, really. Go on any page.
Defeated singles.
Defeated men in your area.
Salty boys within 2 kilometers.
Anyway, that's the end of this week's podcast. I hope you enjoyed the show. That's a bye from me.
Bye.
So Arnold Schwarzenegger turned down the opportunity to return as his character Dutch. And in my opinion, well done. Crap movie.
Yeah. All right. Oh, no.